We pray. Heavenly Father, God of all grace, a light has dawned on this Gentile land. You draw us to your light of grace and goodness that we might marvel at the mystery and wonder of our Christ child, a God made flesh to ransom and rescue us. Be with us through word and sacrament, dear Lord, that our eyes once again may be lifted up in eager anticipation of your Son's arrival in all glory. To you be our thanks and praise for all eternity. Amen. Today the call goes out. All Christians throughout the world, everywhere, stand ready. Look up. With your lamp of faith burning brightly, for Jesus is at the door. How did God prepare his Old Testament believers to stand ready with eager anticipation for the birth of Emmanuel? Through his word and blood. Imagine you're standing not in front of your Christmas tree, but in the center of the Old Testament temple. What would you see? The temple courtyards would be busier than a shopping mall on Christmas Eve. Noisy with rabbis teaching, Bible studies everywhere, with merchants selling and business people doing their business, and with families talking and reciting psalms and offering up prayers. And there, right in the heart of the whole complex, would stand the beautiful temple with the ark or with the altar or burnt offering right in the center of the courtyard. Oh, priests were stationed around the altar of burnt offering to receive that ongoing stream of lambs and goats and bulls, to sacrifice them, to have the people come and place their hands on them, confessing their sins, slitting the animal's throat, and throwing them onto the altar of burnt offering in the raging fire. The trench, dug in the ground from the top of the temple mound, down the hill, down into the Kidron Valley, ran full every day with a river of blood. The high festival, the Day of Atonement, fascinates me. On that day, the roar of the crowd turned to a whisper. The Israelites packed in there, standing still and anxious. There was only one person offering a sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. One bull and two goats were presented on that day. The bull to atone for the sins of the high priest, and the goats to atone for the sins of all the people. The high priest appeared, not in his royal flowing gowns and his brightly colored turban. No, he appeared in a common man's linen tunic. Appeared before all of Israel. Appeared before a massive snorting bull. I wonder how many ropes and how many men it took to keep that wild beast under control. The high priest looked into the big, unsuspecting eyes of the bull, placed both hands upon its head, looked up to heaven, and confessed his sins. O Jehovah, I have committed iniquities. I have sinned, I and my house. Jehovah, I beg, please cover over, atone for my sins and my iniquities that I have done before you, I and my house, even as it is written in the law of Moses. For on that day he will cover over and atone for the transgressions before Jehovah. You will be cleansed. After he confessed his sin, the high priest drew his knife and sliced through the bull's neck, cutting the artery. The bull winces, and the blood gushes out of his neck. An attendant caught the bull's blood in a golden bowl and continuously stirred it so it wouldn't congeal. While the bull staggered from side to side, eyes filled with panic as it bled and bled, buckling under its own weight, and finally fell to the ground as life left its eyes. Only on that day, and only with the blood of that bull, could that high priest go into the most holy room in the temple, dipping his fingers in the blood and spattering it upon the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat of God, to atone for his sins. When he came back out, about 24 other priests with knives came out and quickly, within minutes, cut the bull into pieces and placed those pieces in the roaring fire on the altar of burnt offering. What grisly and awful work this sacrificing was. Every sacrifice was intended to point ahead to the coming Messiah. Through his prophet Moses, God commanded for the people to be making these sacrifices. But God also said through his prophet King David in Psalm 40, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased." Day after day, year after year, the Israelites sacrificed animal after animal as a central part of their worship to God. How could God then say he didn't desire these, nor were he pleased with their sacrifices? Didn't he command it? Didn't God himself come down in a pillar of fire to consecrate the tabernacle and later the temple with all of its sacrifices? And yet in all of this, God says he did not desire and he was not pleased with their sacrifices. Well, why were they spilling all this blood and burning all these animals if God didn't have a thirst for blood and desire to smell burnt flesh? The Old Testament sacrifices were for the people's good, not God's pleasure. God was picturing what the Lamb of God would do for Israel. God himself was coming to atone for the sins of the world. Jesus is our world's one and only bull of atonement, Lamb of God, scapegoat. This is why Christmas is so important. This is why every Old Testament believer should have been eagerly anticipating the birth of their Savior. Everything had been pointing ahead to this moment. The book of Hebrews quotes Psalm 40, "A body you prepared for me." Then I said, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God." God prepared for his son a body, a human body, to do his will. Many of the Old Testament Israelites became numb to the blood and gore of animals being dismembered and burned. While many New Testament believers turn their eyes away in disgust, dismissing the truth that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So often Americans look at Christmas, at the birth of Jesus, like a Hallmark greeting card. Newborn babies are so cute. Mary and Elizabeth, however, understood the foreshadowing message of all those sacrifices, the road Mary's son would walk. The reason Mary and Elizabeth were over the moon in joy was not because they had a cute little baby to hold in their arms, but because a Christ child was about to be born. Elizabeth rejoiced, "Blessed is the child you will bear, but why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And Mary joined in her song, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my soul rejoices in God my Savior." Mary and Elizabeth adored the Christ who was coming into the world. God prepared for his son a human body. A human body he would have for all eternity. A human body through which he would save the world. Our holy purpose in celebrating another Christmas is to adore the Savior, just as Elizabeth and Mary leaped for joy, just as the angels of Bethlehem sang his glory, just as the shepherds knelt in worship before him. As much as Mary enjoyed holding her baby Jesus, counting his fingers and toes, feeding him and watching him sleep, when she pondered all these things in her heart, she probably pondered the questions, how could our infinite God be housed in this finite baby's body? How could the Holy Son of God tolerate a world of thoroughly sinful people? And just what would Jesus have to do to fulfill his Father's will? Look to the blood flowing in the temple. When Christ came into the world, he said, "I have come to do your will." Let's think of all those sins that we commit that make us each feel so terrible, guilty, disgusting. Jesus never did any of the miserable things we've done. Had we lived with him and grew up with him, we probably wouldn't have liked him to be our friend, because our wretchedness would become so much more obvious next to his holiness. Christ came to do his Father's will, and his Father's will was for him to be under God's law and to obey it perfectly, so that God could take his perfection and credit it to our account. Jesus obeyed his heavenly Father perfectly for us. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That body, which the Father prepared for him, was sacrificed for us. Just as the high priest's sins were laid upon the bull, so the sins of all people were placed on Jesus' head. As the bull was cut and bled to death as a substitute for the high priest, so God in human flesh died to pay for the sins of the entire world. Did you hear what the writer to the Hebrews said about the result of the Son of God being sacrificed on our behalf? And by that will, we have been made holy. Not we could be made holy, or we might be made holy, or we will be made holy someday. No, we have been made holy. The innocent one is a substitute for the guilty ones. So the guilty ones are declared holy. If the blood of bulls, which only foreshadowed Jesus' sacrifice, could send God's people home in peace, how much more should we rejoice this Christmas in the salvation won for us, won by Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man? Jesus' body, his human body, his body that was beaten and whipped and nailed and pierced and died on the cross, was also glorified. That very body walked out of the tomb, rose in victory, ascended to his throne on high. Jesus' human body now sits on heaven's throne in a state of glory. Glory brighter than the sun. Glory brighter than anything in this world. With the glory that he will return with. And so we ask, what is the point of our Christmas celebration? Exciting gifts under the tree? Or the dream of world peace and prosperity? Or a moment to celebrate the brotherhood of mankind? For us Christians, Christmas is about glorifying God's Son, our Savior, who has paid for our sins and opened the gates to heaven. For us Christians, Christmas is about keeping our eyes open and looking for his arrival. He is at the door any moment now. For all who believe, we will have a blessed Christmas of eager anticipation. While a secular holiday signaling impending doom awaits those who do not believe. Stand up. Stand ready. And look up. Rejoice. Jesus is at the door. And soon, soon, we will be celebrating Christmas in heaven. Amen. Please rise. We pray. God of all grace and glory, we thank you for filling our hearts with your gospel light, for calling us to be your beloved children, and for preparing us for a brand new day, a day of salvation around Jesus' throne in glory. Bless us. Give us eager and anticipating hearts, dear Lord, that we might sing your praise here in time and for all eternity. In Christ our Savior, amen.